Parshas Vayelech, perhaps we'll also mix in a little bit of Yom Kippur, maybe Hazinu, even though it's next week, maybe the Tshuva parts negate it. State in Parshas Vayelech, Vayelech Moshe went. Where did he go and why? So Targum Anderson says, Vazal Moshe Lamashkan Beis Hofana. He went to the Beis Medrash. Why? In other words, he went to Beis Medrash to give them Techacha. We know that's what's going to happen on the last day of his life. Rashi brings this down already, that this is what he's doing at the end of his life, just like we find other Nevi'im did it at the end of their life. So he's giving Techacha in the Beis Medrash. Baal Turim says that it says at the end of Parshat Tetzavim, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, what's the connection? To try to say that he's going to tell them that Hashem was Mekayim Heshvuah to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. And Agav, you see from here, it's Machlokes and Gemara whether the Mesim speak to each other. This will be a raya that they do. Because it's saying that they're understanding what's going on. Ebnezra says he went to each Shevet to tell them he's going to die and they shouldn't worry, and to be mechazik by them that Yeshua is going to be the head. Ramban Ben Ubchai say that he went to them to take Rishus, Lipoter. He's been their leader, their mentor, soul spiritual mentor for 40 years. So he's telling them that now taking Rishus from them to go. Chayokar says that people don't seem to go to a Rav to ask how to do tshuva. So therefore Moshe told them. Moshe went to every single person to tell them how to do tshuva. Shlomo Zalman said that after every Yom Kippur, Baruch Hashem, all Bnei Yisrael is asking, conducting halacha and all the mitzvahs, but no one asks how to do tshuva. Even though that's the mitzvah saying, like Rabbeinu Yonah, that's the mitzvah of every Yom Kippurim, that everyone should do tshuva and go ask mechila, people don't seem to be asking those questions. The story with Rav Chavitsky, he's a Rav in the times of Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was a Rav in a lot of out-of-town places, and he always used to ask Rav Moshe Feinstein many shilas, that could come up in out-of-town places, and Rav Moshe said to him one time, after many years, you know, you ask me many shilas, but you never ask me if it's mutzah to be a Rav in these places. With that, he closed up the Rabbanus and went to be a Rav an hour away from Lakewood and was able to send his kids to a good place of chinuch. In other words, we have to make sure that we're asking the right points and the right things and the right ideas. I guess the possible tzustal to this is that which the Gedolim say, I think Rav Vosner said it as well, that everyone asks so many shilas of kulas during the 9 days. When really all the halachas really just bring on a mindset. Somehow, during Avelos, you don't really find many people asking those same shilas. Everything all of a sudden tones down and everyone's okay with it. All of a sudden, once again, it's a mindset. So too with the tshuva, it's a mindset. Moshe says, Rabbeinu Bachai says, the 120 days that he stood on Har Sinai, that's why he's zeichet 120 years. And Lamaisa, he only died because of Chet. Because like we see, Lechasa Einai, that he was not weaker in the least, and there should have been no reason why he expired. Someone once said to Mashkech Rabbi Yochum that, oh, someone died, he was extremely old. Rabbi Yochum said, no, he died because of Chet. That is the only reason that people die. Agav, it goes into the whole way how the body, Memela, how the body's going to deteriorate. Pasuk says, Chizku v'imtzu. It's talking about Yeshua, Hashem, the strength, Altir v'atartzu. Some Farshim say, it's referring to, first of all, about going into Eretz Yisrael, and second of all, about Torah. Chatzko Bramsky was the Rosh of Vadi Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. And he was called by the Mamlachti to some Suda, and they asked him there, how come the Hatzalah of the land doesn't go first? Why, in other words, why are the Bachram learning? So Reb Chatzkel answered that Yeshua had to be Kibush Aretz Yisrael, and Hashem told him two things. He told him about Kibush Aretz and Shmir Satayra. And over here is talking about the kibush. So it's saying Chizkuvim Tzolatir Ba'atar Tzuvnim. Very nice. In the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, where he's telling him specifically about the Shmir Satar, it says Chazak Ve'matz Me'oid. You see that it's more Choshev, the protecting of the Torah, than protecting Eretz Yisrael. That was his response to why more attention is being paid to Eretz, to the Torah, as opposed to guarding Eretz Yisrael. Says, almost cross Yeshua. You're going to die? Call Yeshua. Frechner Tziv, why do you need the Hink Karvi Yomecha Lamos? Why do you need the fact that Moshe is dying with calling Yeshua? So, the Netziv answered that in Bava Basra and Ayin Heman Aleph, we know that it says, Pnei Moshe was like the sun, and Yeshua was like the moon. In other words, that the moon gets the light from the sun, and Yeshua gets his light from Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak. And we know that the moon really gives off its light only really when the sun is setting. That's how the moon reflects the light. When the sun's up, you don't see the moon. It's only when the sun's coming down, that's when you see the moon. So therefore, Moshe is compared to the sun, Yeshua is compared to the moon. How are you able to see Yeshua become great? Only because Moshe now is going down. Moshe is going to die. That's why now Yeshua can rise and start taking his position as leader.
You see the sun and also the setback.
What?
You see the sun and the moon and the setback.
Right. But not with a starkeit. For instance, I asked the person who gives the shir that it says by Vayera, when the destruction of Sodom, that Hashem did the destruction as right before Alois, when the sun and the moon are around. So that no one can say, oh, well, if the moon would have been around, we would have been saved. If the sun would have been around, we would have been saved. In other words, the idol worshippers of the sun and the moon. Therefore, both were around. So I asked him, oh, you see the moon sometimes during the day? But it's not at its kayach. It's yes, you sometimes are able to see it, but no one would call it that the moon is here. You do see somewhat. The moon is most visible as the sun is going down already. And then obviously as it becomes the night, so that's why you need this. There's a Gemara that we just quoted that said the Zekanim of the Dar said Pnei Moshe kepnei Chama and Pnei Yeshua kepnei Levana. The elder people in the generation said that. Why do you need the elder people in the generation to say it? Shouldn't everyone realize that it's going down? Moshe was Moshe and Yeshua was Yeshua. It's not clearly discernible. Why only the Zekanim? So the Rabbi Anderson Ibshit says it's a nice shot. We know in the Midbar, they were totally surrounded by the clouds for 40 years. And therefore, they didn't see the sun and the moon. So it was only the older people who had seen the sun and the moon in Mitzrayim that were able to give this comparison. Sure, the people realized Moshe and Yeshua.
There was a 100-watt light.
I'm saying, well, it says, let's go that by the day you had the sun, by the day you had the sun, and by night you had the light of the fire that shined through as well. It wasn't daytime, it wasn't nighttime. How did they sleep?
Come on, the clock.
Because they realize that the fire is starting to come. Fine. So that's what he says. So only they were able to give such a dimyon. The parasha says Kisvulochem es Hashira Hazayis. Write this shira. We know it's referring to Hazinu, but clearly it's also referring to the Torah. Why is the Torah called a shira? Why is the Torah called a song? So I don't recall who said what's up, but someone said, probably an earlier person, that just like a song, if it's missing one nuance, the song is gone. You killed the song. So too, the Torah, if one little part is missing, one little word, one little ice, one little tag even, then the whole Torah is possible. I think this is very beautiful with the beautiful mashal given of the famous secular song, I don't know what it is, that needs 16 violins, and there was a famous person who either composed it or knew enough about it. Maybe that was the amount of instruments, but I thought there was only a certain amount of violins. Anyways, and he was able to tell that, he said this is not the real thing, one was missing. Everyone there, even experts in music, said that can't be. Come on. And they checked. They checked the concert that day. Someone had gotten sick, and they thought it would pass as nothing through. And sure enough, someone who was able to discern was able to see that something was, and one of them was missing.
So you want the longer version? It was the cantor.
The conductor.
The conductor from he got old, so he didn't come. He wanted to come, but he didn't. They asked him not to come. So a journalist asked him, "Can I just sit in front of you, watch you hearing it?" Like, yeah.
So he didn't say it the whole day.
Yeah. 16 mile minutes. And then they said, after you finish, it was like, "How well?" He's like, "It's terrible." Yeah. 1 mile, no, right. I can't. Yeah.
You see, so right, so Hashem, who knows the Torah, the Yerucham, who knows the Torah, the Tzaddikim, who know the Torah, they know that the one thing it's missing. That's for people also, especially coming up to Yom Kippur. It's a beautiful thing to daven in a tzibur, but even davening with a tzibur, we all have to know that we're each really for ourselves as well.
I try to go to Tel Chicago.
Okay, say the good. No, there's something that comes from being with the tzibur for sure. We also have to make sure that we're involved as well. That is also involved with ourselves. Okay. It says in the sixth parasha, Lakoyach es Sefer Torah Hazeh, take this Sefer Torah. The Dasakanim says that on the day that Moshe died, Moshe wrote 13 Sefer Torah for the Yud Beis Shvatim and one for the Arn. I guess we can mix with this that which we say, speak up by Baal Yisrael and other places, that Aaron, the day they started the Mishkan, you had all the things that had to happen, and he picked and waved up every Levi and he shaved them. I mean, see, there's a Koyach. I would still sue to this, the Hotzko, that in Eretz Yisrael, they daven Ne'ilah, most people, they daven extremely quick.
Because
you have to make the right kind of. So I asked my Rashiva, I don't get it. That's how it was set up. That's supposed to be said. I know. But how you talking? They're set up, right? Because there's a start time also.
Yes.
No. There's a start time. You can't start before a certain time. So he told me that it could be Chazal set it up like this specifically. If you have been properly davening the entire El, the entire Rosh Hashanah, the entire Sesh Mei Tshuva, the entire Yom Kippur properly, then you will be able to say Ne'ilah should be able to say it every word quickly with the full concentration like this. So it could be David Dafka set it up like that. That's supposed to be a tefillah. That's good. Why? I mean, it could be there's deeper things. But so perhaps it's the same thing with this, that Moshe Rabbeinu, who's been working on this, he got it as a president in 40 days. He was Moshe Rabbeinu. So yeah, he had the kach. He was able to sit there. Right, I'm right.
So cool.
Like, if Chaim Weiser was able to write two letters at once, with each hand, Chaim Weiser Grudzinski, in Europe, and the Kohen Gadol was able to...
Yes.
The Kohen Gadol was able to write separately with a pen, with a quill, between each finger, 10 separate, not 8 separate things, whatever it is going on. I'm saying, in some we can start on the same, how Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps wrote 13 separate times in one day. How many is it? Bekitzer. Anyways, Frecht the Bach, it's famous that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos. So what's going on? How did he write these separate times on Shabbos?
I never heard of that.
Which did you not hear of? Shabbos is, so why do we say Tzikas Chatzedek? Why do we say it White Menchon Shabbos? So
we say it in
Tzartachim. No. Okay, very good. But there are three tzikaschas. One is Keneged. They're each Keneged. People who died. No. Right, that's the order. But they're each Keneged people who died right then in that Zman on Shabbos. Moshe, Yosef, and David. They each died afternoon, so it's like a little bit sad, quote unquote, so even though it's Shabbos. So we say, eat three psukkim of tzikaschas.
Yeah, the reason I'm telling why those three died is.
Fun? Yeah. So, anyways, so how's this stem? So, first of all, it's the Tysus. Tysus says they died on Shabbos.
Okay,
so, what did I say? We're not making up. What? I'm not remembering right now. No, I don't think so. I think a Menachas might be one of the Tysus. I don't remember. I'm sorry. I'm not remembering right now. But, anyways, so the Bach answers that Be'emes, he died on Erev Shabbos. He was buried on Shabbos. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu died on Erev Shabbos. And then he was buried on Shabbos. So, first of all, the Zohar says specifically that he died on Shabbos, like we said, Tysus as well. Now, yeah, don't we say that, like we just said before, the Tzikascha is because they died then. So perhaps we could say as follows. Rivka, we know, had a nevuah. Loma eshkash shnechem b'yomecha. She didn't realize what she was saying, but she said, "Why should I lose both of you on one day?" And we know Chazal say, "Well, they ended up dying on one day. How? Yaakov was buried, and when he was being buried, before that, Esav's head gets knocked off, so they both died on one day. Died on one day, I don't understand. One's dying, we understand that's Esav. But what about Yaakov? Yaakov's not dying.
Became alive when he heard the conversation of Esav.
Yeah, so yeah, there's a manager say so he sat up, laughed something. But anyway, and then he re-died. Maybe, okay, that could be. But they want to answer that perhaps the Yom Kura is like the Yom Misa. The day of burial is like the day of dying. That was by Rivka. So therefore, by Moshe also. So therefore, good. Maskim Avelus, exactly, yes, and it's going to get a lot of things. Also, ask the second Sarah Halachaka that's learning Avelus right now. So anyways, Rabbi Englander, Rabbi Englander. The kids said they're learning Chassidus. So anyways, yes, the right thing's being here. So that is Nagea as well. Oh, very nice. It says, this week's parasha, Anochi Yodati, Moshe says, I know that after I die, you're going to rebel with Hashem. With Hashem. Say Kineged Hashem, against Hashem.
Who are we talking to Klal
Yisrael? Moshe's talking about, he's talking to Klal Yisrael. I know that you are going to rebel with Hashem. That's what it says. Marich im Hashem. Why does it say with?
By the Shvatim. Hashem was the 10th
Very nice. Okay, I hear. That's very nice. So perhaps they could sort of see what this is from there. I hear. Very nice.
I don't.
What the Sama Rebbe answered that Moshe is giving them Techacha. Amal, when people are chaylik on a rav, a gadol, on a navi, they make a whole stick of Torah about why they think they're right. Using halacha, svara, gemara, what do you mean? But they zok to sat mareva, that's mamir ha'im Hashem. You're rebelling with Hashem. Avada means you're rebelling against Hashem, but you're trying to use Hashem against him. And Moshe's giving them techacha, that's incorrect. Incorrect. We have to be very careful with that. You want to do your thing good, then say straight out that you're doing an avera. It's even worse. It's ki'ilu what's called, what we say, the Mefarshim explained that we say, achesh chatano l'menacha b'vidui pen. Hello, the whole thing's vidui. What are we saying? We're saying that hakofa right now in the middle of vidui. Do we really mean what we're saying? We're sitting against you with the vidui itself, trying to make, don't worry, I feel, it makes me feel good. Are we really aware of what we're saying during the vidui? Yeah, it should just be a lip service. Hakel was Anashim Nashim B'Tav, right? Everyone had to be there. So Anashim Nashim B'Tav, the first letters of each word, Anashim Aleph, Nashim Nun, and then B'Tav, let's take the test from the top, is Tene. Mental elastic, but again, basket, with someone with the basket. But anyways, Tene is equal 60. So too, there are 60 letters in Berachas Kohanim. So too, there are 60 Masechtos in Shas. What? 60. There are 36 of Gemara, something like that, but a Mishnayis altogether, which is really Shas, there are 60. To show, he's trying to say that everyone should come together, and then they will be zeichet to the bracha of the Torah, right? What are they doing, Mahakal? The ring saver Dvarim, Chazav, the whole Torah, trying to have some acceptance and some resurgence of what Klal Yisrael is. So Hagufa, you want the bracha of the Torah, come together to be connected, and Nosh B'Tav, the 60, so that you get everything. Now that the Brachas Kainim is Kael everything, right? The Mammon is the Torah, the Shalom. Brachas Kainim also is Kael everything. 60 is a big
Jewish number.
Big Jewish number.
Where else?
I think there are other things as well. Some of these things.
71. 60 is not Sanhedrin, right?
No, that's 72. All
right, so what's 60? No, I like your number. I'm just not going to say. I just need a car.
It happens to be, I'm thinking now, in Nasa, in the total count up of all the karbanis that they brought over all the days, a few of them, kvasim shishim, atadim shishim, those animals added up to 60. Okay. Anyways, because we won't be having the shir next week, Bez Hashem will be in Eretz Yisrael. And anyways, there are many years that Hazinu Isha B'Shuva, so there are things Megeya from Hazinu. So we'll speak out some of the things from Hazinu again, especially Vayelach is extremely short parsha. So state in Hazinu. state in Hazino, Hatsur Tama Poloi, Hashem is just. So, we really spoke this out last week, but now that the pasuk is there, we'll say this. Bezin Shalmata, they kill if someone's supposed to be killed. They look at the case. Did you kill? We kill you. Hashem only kills if every single person that's going to be affected by that killing makes sense that he should get something. The third grade teacher is going to hear that this guy got killed and he's going to be pained by it. Do you know that Hashem takes that into account? Obviously, Hashem feels that that guy deserves it if he's going to end up with that pain. Every little ass thing gets taken in by Hashem. That's what it means when we say Hashem is just. That's what we mean by that. He takes everything into account. Therefore, Rav Moshe Sternbach and many others, Rabbi Yerucham said from Al, really said this last week, that exactly, you should become involved with the tzibur so that more people will be affected by you. We hope L'Tayyib and Chas V'Shalom, protecting from the Ra, that they will be included as well.
Oh my God, oh my God.
The Chafetz Chaim says that it always seems, I mean, you do fine, but generally it seems like the tzaddikim don't always have money. Look at the Chafetz Chaim. They're content, but they don't have money. Why? How come? Why is it like that?
I would love to hear this, yeah.
Well,
I would love to.
So, let's give a mashal. You have a really rich fellow with a son who is close to death. The doctor says he shouldn't eat any fat meat. And if he eats, he's going to die. One time he went somewhere and his son wasn't aware, whatever, and he ate, and he basically died.
Died? Almost.
And this happened another time. And people wondering, well, what's the shot? Everyone else is able to eat it. How come he can't eat it?
Don't go out for supper.
The nimshal is that Hashem, quote unquote, sends the tzaddikim away from the dining room because it's better for them to not have this taiva for money.
Okay.
In other words, the question is, why does it seem like tzaddikim are always without money?
If they have, yeah.
So we're answering that lamaisa, money is a big taiva. We spoke about this during Shoftim about how the littlest bit of bribery could do something, and how money has a very powerful pull. That we don't want to go. I think the Gemara Baba Basra, when it's saying about percentage of people what averis they do, it's a couple of averis. I believe it's this rubam begezel. Most of them are involved. Most people. I don't think it's fair to say that only a little bit of people in the world are tzaddikim. So, and yet we're saying that most people are involved with it doesn't mean stealing, some form of stealing, a vodgezel. Exactly. Maybe it says cool. Rubam begezel or kulam begezel? What? Rubam. So I'm saying, what? Kulam b'lashon hara. So anyways, so it's actually a bracha from, good, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had everything, but Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, when he died, he lifted 10 fingers and said, I swear to Hashem, I was not nene from my littlest fingers from anything. That means that even though he had everything, he knew they'd keep away. Most of us, most tzaddikim are not able to do it. So it's actually a bracha from Hashem that he's keeping the money away from them. What? So Hashem, let's go Padar Rav and Mishael. Hashem make sure that they have. Right. Okay. Good. And he only worked when he needs to. He only worked when he needs to.
Yeah. Is that south?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hear he's involved.
I mean, I don't know how much. I hear he's involved.
A little bit. Yeah. You have to be. Yeah.
Not a lot.
Somebody tried to support these kids a little bit. Yeah. Sure.
People just want to do business and just saying this is close.
Sure.
My grandfather also, I think.
Agav, what's it called? Someone said to the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim asked someone, how's he doing? So he said, no, could be better. I guess from the context, he was referring to that it would be better if he had more money. The Chafetz Chaim said to him, who said it would be better if you had more money? Maybe then, right? Marvin Chas Marvin Dog, maybe you'd be swapped with more things. Maybe, and who says it would be a better life for you?
More Meister. What did he say? What was his
answer? Huh? No, putting out the point.
He was masking. Look, he's masking.
Zichar Yemay Salam, it says in Hazinu, right? Many interpretations that remember the old days. The Medrash gives a different interpretation. It says, if Yisurim are coming, remember what's going to be in Olam Haba. Generally, we teach Zichar Yemay Salam, look at history so you learn not to make the same mistakes. That's generally what we teach. It means remember the old days, right? The Medrash is teaching it separately. Remember the days of Olam up ahead in Olam Haba. What does that mean? What's it supposed to mean? So the Ben Ish Chai explained with a mashal. You have an owner of a hotel who he bought it for 350 ruble. One year he took a break. And someone else came to take care of it that year, and he charged more than the owner A. In other words, B, who's running it for that year, charged much more than A. Let's say A charged $50 a night. He charged $100 a night. So one time, there was someone who couldn't pay, and the guy, the owner, the B, who's running it for the year, gives this fellow, he hits him for each dollar, each ruble that he wasn't able to pay. Fine. Afterwards, this guy, I guess, is still living there. I guess it's more like a condo or something that people live there for a long time. And the owner A comes back and he says, I want to give you money for all the hits that you received, equal to half of what that guy ended up making total. The total that that guy made and bought a beautiful mansion for himself, I want to give you equivalent to half that money. Well, the guy's pretty excited. He comes home, but his wife can tell something's wrong. His wife says to him, what's wrong? You made a lot of money. Weren't those kedai? He says, oi, if only I would have gotten hit more, then I would have made as much as that. What's good simply through hitting it? I didn't have to do all the business. Zok the Ben Ishchai, when someone's getting Yisurim, think ahead to Olam Haba. Think ahead. I mean, obviously we have to dive in the Bezer Hashem. Hashem should help us through them. But when it's happening, Lamaisa, when it's happening, because it's true. Because it's true.
I stopped watching Shark Tank for that reason. I should have thought of that.
When someone's getting Yisurim, let them think about ahead in Olam Haba, about what will come to them, and then they'll be able to deal with it better. That's what I'm saying. A novel interpretation, but it's the Medrash. It's the Medrash saying to think about until the world ahead.
When you're in DP mode, you can't
really. Okay, let's say a quick var about Yom Kippur. Maybe we'll say one more var in the parsha, but we have to end in a couple minutes. Rabbi Rocham said as follows about Yom Kippur, and it's really for after Yom Kippur. But I think that hopefully we're far enough through Elul v'chulu that perhaps knowing about it before will be helpful to us through Yom Kippur. Rabbi Rocham said as follows. We are right, everyone's dancing at the end of Yom Kippur. We know about Tzaddikim's face is shining. I know Chaim Stein, they say his face glowed after months of Yom Kippur. Many, many people. The kids are, how do we know? How do we know if we had a good Yom Kippur? How do we know? So Bruchim gave a beautiful marshal. He said, when you send a suit to the cleaners, dirty suit, and you get it back, now it's clean. What do you do? Put it on. How do you act walking around, in other words, between you and the elements around you? Not people.
Feel good. For the first 5 minutes, feel good.
Okay, you feel good, but what do you... You make sure the chair's not dirty. You make sure the bench is not dirty. You make sure there's nothing on the table that you're going to put your hand into. The littlest speck that might get on it, you steer clear, you quickly brush away. Once the first stain comes on it, it's a different thing already. Okay, it's stained anyways. New, whatever. Zot Rabbi Yocham.
What do you have kids? Forget about it.
If after Yom Kippur, you notice automatically that you're being extremely careful. Careful about Negavasar, careful about Nisiyasadayim, careful about Brachas, careful about these things right after Yom Kippur, then you know that you came out of the cleaners clean. And that's why this is happening automatically. Chas v'shalom, it's only when the averus start happening. Like, right, the Medrash says that the first day of Sukkot is the Rishon Tesh Ba'averus, because until then we're so busy doing the mitzvahs of the Chag, there aren't going to be any Averus automatically until the first day of Sukkot. Then when the first Averus comes, Nebuch, Lida, that's how we end up getting that stain, and then it becomes a little harder for us, but at least right away after Yom Kippur. Chas v'shalom, some doesn't feel like that after Yom Kippur. Nebuch for him, who knows if he got cleansed. So perhaps we could say, thinking about this for Yom Kippur, yes, obviously the focus of Yom Kippur has to be the Slicha and the Kapara, but hopefully, if we've been, the whole Elul, the whole Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Metshuva, leading up to Yom Kippur, perhaps this is a way for us to look at Yom Kippur, to think about this. Mindset is extremely important. We spoke about Parsha Shoftim, that even if you have no mitzvahs, Mali Averis, you just say Shema Yisrael twice a day, you believe in Hashem, we send Parsha Shoftim, B'Shem Yerucham, you'll be saved. That's what we said there. So if we have a mindset going to Yom Kippur, yes, I have what to work on. But like Rabbeinu Yoina says, and you say that tshuva, throw away everything. You're a new person. You're averus. You'll deal with when you're ready to deal with averus. Far, far down the line. Become a new person. Wake up. We're stuck. Rabbi Blazer said this on Rosh Hashanah. We're stuck in the mindset of life. This is who I am. It's almost like the person from last week's parsha. Shalom, I know that he's good. No. We don't have to be good. We could change our outlook. We can change our mindset. Going to Yom Kippur, that, no, we're wearing a new suit. We have a new suit that we're wearing. We are not. I'm gonna be careful. Gonna be careful. That's hard already. Think we are careful, people. This is who we are. That mindset will hopefully bring us that Memel on Yom Kippur. We'll be able to speak about the Chataim, feeling good about ourselves. Yes, we're getting rid of the bad because we are people who are careful, trying to have a clean slate. Be'ezras Hashem. One more thing. Says in Hazinu, Vayishman Yeshur and Vayivat, that Klal Yisrael gets fat and then they start kicking. Sipurna says it's going on Bali Taira, that are surrounded by the Tanuge Olam Hazeh, and therefore they can't learn. That's what the Sipurna says. Rebellious, they said, this is the Nisayon of America. That there's a ruach around of relax, be good, live for today, that makes it harder to learn. What are we supposed to do about that? We're sitting working. Focus. Rabbi Friedman said, right, the new Dayan of the Kollel said, I believe Reish Chodesh already, that. The mindset is that true, we might work many, many more hours than we learn. Even if we only learn a little bit, but what's the focus of our day? Ah, that learning, that little bit of learning that I was able to do. That's the focus of our day. That'll be the point. These are the type of things, what we were talking about before, the part before, about the mindset. This is the way that Bez Hashem, we will be zeicha to a Gemar Chasima Teva, carrying on to Sukkot, where we're living with Hashem in His house, and then carrying it back home into the house with the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah, Bez Hashem, a good year. Yeah.